Exodus 5, Deuteronomy 32,
Romans number 9. Exodus 5, Deuteronomy 32, Romans 9. Get your fingers in those three spots and we'll read. Keep your finger in Exodus 5. We're going to come back, but we're going to begin reading there. I'm going to read two verses. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now I always look the way Lord is spelt in the Bible. The King James Bible, you'll see God and Lord spelt different ways. By being spelt, I mean using different words and cases. When you find all capital letters in Lord and God, it always refers to Jehovah God. So here, he's talking about Jehovah God. Jehovah God means the self-existent one. The one that doesn't need anybody, need anything. The one that was from the beginning. Always has been. Always will be. The one our minds cannot wrap around. The one that our minds cannot explain. God does not go through the Bible trying to explain who he is and get you to understand completely about who he is. He tells us things about him and his attributes, things that we would not know. The Word of God tells us many things about God, but we just have to take it for granted. Our mind cannot wrap around who and what God is. So when he's represented in all capital letters 6,000 times in the Old and New Testament, he is represented as Lord, Jehovah God. When you see a capital G in little old D, it's Elohim. The name Elohim of God, in the beginning, Elohim created heavens and earth, God. He is a creator. He's a maker. He's the author. Then when you see capital L, little O-R-D, Adonai. Adonai means master. Means he has a right to ask anything of you. He has a right to demand things and command things of you. And when you have a relationship as he is your Adonai, he's your master, and you are his servant, he has a right to do those things, but he also has obligation. He's got to protect you, he's got to provide for you, and he's got to be to you what a husband is to a wife. Care. And if you notice, I remind Chris of this. It doesn't seem to get through her very much, but Sarah called Abraham Lord. But I just haven't got her won over that side yet. But actually, that word Lord is the same thing, capital L, little O-R-D, master. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so therefore, here, Moses and Aaron came and said, Jehovah God has said something to you, Pharaoh. Look back in your Bibles in chapter 5. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now notice that you have Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, God, capital G, little O-D, Elohim, the creator, the self-existent one. Verse number 2, and Pharaoh said, who is what? The Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Keep your finger there, and if you would, flip on over to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter 9 to chapter 11, God is dealing with Israel. Now listen to me very carefully. There's a lot of doctrine going on. Some calls it Calvinist, hyper-Calvinist, where they want to teach that you have no choice in your salvation. God predetermines, and God is sovereign. Now, when you hear that God is sovereign or God has sovereignty, that is true, even though the word's not used in the Bible. It means that there is none that controls God or has authority over God. He has authority over everything. And so therefore, there's a teaching that God creates some of you and predestines some of you to die and go to hell, some of you to die and go to heaven. But they leave out an important part. God is sovereign. He makes all decisions. And they use these, some of these verses here that we're going to read. But in chapter 9 through 11, it's talking about how that God brought Israel up and has abandoned Israel for the church right now, later on to pick Israel back up. And blindness was brought to Israel for a period of time that we as a church, Jew and Gentile, might be brought together to make the body of Christ. But then it goes on in verse number 13, says this, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Some people say, well, see right there, God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. But he loved Jacob and he hated Esau because of choices and decisions that they made. They had the ability. Now listen to me very carefully. Get this in your mind. 38 times in the Bible, you'll find this little phrase. God is no respecter of persons. And all 38 times that you find that, you find it in dealing with one of three things. Salvation, rewards for works, and punishment for neglecting God and rejecting Christ. What that means is this. Now listen, whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, we all have to be saved the same way. God is no respecter of persons. If you come to God, you come through Christ, through the blood of Christ, through blood of Calvary. And by the way, whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't matter. You all can be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. There was a time some taught that if you were this race or that race or this one, that it was impossible for you to be saved. Some even went as far as saying some didn't have souls. No such teaching in the Bible. The Bible teaches God's no respecter of persons. Anyone of any color can come to God, but all must come the same way. The ground around Calvary is level. Whether you're rich, poor, male, female, it doesn't matter. We all come the same way. Amen. Second of all, whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't matter because God rewards all the same. Not only that, but if you die in your sins, red, yellow, black, or white, hell will be your destiny. It doesn't matter. Now, so there, when it's talking about Esau and Jacob, it doesn't mean that God chose one over the other and just cast the other aside and he had no choice. But because of decisions and choices he made, it ended up that God loved the one, he hated the other one. In other words, he was against him. Look on, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. In other words, is God unrighteous in what he does that? Verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on him who he have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. In other words, he says, God in Pharaoh, he wanted to prove something with Pharaoh. He's going to show that he was God. And so Pharaoh, therefore, he hardened his heart. The Bible says that God hardened his heart. And somebody said, well, that wasn't fair to Pharaoh. But he hardened Pharaoh's heart after Pharaoh rejected God. And we'll get in on that in just a minute. Turn back, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Let me say this. This scripture reminds me not only of Israel, but it also reminds me of America. Look on in verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten God that formed thee. In other words, you've forgotten God of salvation, Jehovah God. You've forgotten Elohim, the one that made you. Now, look on, if you would, on over just a little bit. Look in verse 35. Some said, well, God's just lost control. Let me let you in on a little secret. God's not lost control of anything. The Bible says, to me belongeth vengeance, that's God, and recompense. Their foot shall slide when? That's not up to you, say, when due time is. It's up to God. He's got a time and place for everybody. Look on. For the day of their calamity is at hand. On, if you would, on down a bit further, and look, if you would, in verse 39. Then we're going to go back to Exodus 5. I know I've took a long route, but I want to throw a couple things in here. Verse 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I what? Make alive. I wound, and I heal. There is none. Neither is there any that can deliver, where? Out of my hand. Now go back, if you would, chapter 5, just a moment. I want to bring a thought or two if I can. Pharaoh, now remember, Israel had been here for 430 years. 400 years had passed since Joseph had died. There was now a Pharaoh that had been raised up that knew not Joseph, but he knew of the history of Joseph. Now listen to me. Stay with me just a minute. Especially you young people, I want you to hear me this morning. There is a move in this nation to have you to forget God. Forget who God is. Forget what God has done. They've tried to take God out of every institution in this country. They've been hard at work with it. Because of that, we're seeing things happen in this country that our forefathers would have thought would never have been possible in this country. We're seeing things voted on and passed, abominations that we would never have done. But there is a move. Pharaoh here, he should have known God of Israel. He should have heard all the history that there was to know. He had it available to him. If he had not known, that's his problem. But whenever he sent Moses and Aaron to tell him to let his people go, he said, who is this Lord God that I shall obey him? He should have known. A lot of times you talk to people and they act like they don't know who God is. Now listen to me. There's not a reason in the world that anybody in America should not know who God is. If you don't know who He is, it's because of your own choices. What happened is this, and it may be the choice of your generation, your fathers, and the sins upon your fathers, upon generation after generation after generation. The Bible says that sins of the fathers passed on third and fourth generations. What does that mean? If you're a father that never takes your children to church, never takes them to Sunday school, never let them learn about the Word of God, never let them learn about the things of God, who's that on? And what are they going to do with their children when their children comes up? Their children when their children comes up. You know, I was made to come, and I know some of you were raised to come to church, and every time the door was open, we had to be there. We didn't have a choice. As a little child, sometimes I resented that. But now I'm thankful that I had parents that cared enough about me to bring me to church. Let me hear about the Lord. There are a lot of people here in this country, and everybody in this country should know about Jesus. They should have one of these in their houses. They should be able to read and understand and study. They have it available, but because of the sins of their fathers and mothers have been passed up on them, many of them have been neglected and kept away from the things of God. And even though they live in a country that has been founded and blessed by God in such a mighty way, many of them are ignorant to who God really is. Just like Pharaoh.
Amen.
Somebody said, why? Why does God give us choices? And by the way, the reason why this Calvinistic doctrine won't stick is it leaves out the choice of man. And they talk about that and they say, how pitiful that God depends upon man. But they don't understand. That's not what God does. God doesn't depend upon anybody. But what God did was when He made man after His likeness and in His image, He made man, number one, eternal, that he would never cease to exist. Man was made a living soul. When you die a physical death, you will continue to exist. One of two places you will go. You will never cease to exist. God made you a living soul. That soul shall never die. And so therefore, the Bible teaches that even if we go to heaven, our soul is going to extend on forever. If we go to hell, it'll extend on forever. But the second thing is, God gave us choices that He would get glory. Why and how does He get glory? God could have made us like the angels, where you worship God and you had to worship God. And of course, we know there was an angel that rebelled. And when he rebelled, he led other angels away from there. And every one of them are damned. As a matter of fact, when they were cast out of heaven, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? They don't have a choice to repent. They can't ever come back into the graces of God. They rejected. He didn't make us that way. What He did was He made man after His image and likeness. Not only do we exist eternally, but we also have the liberty of choice. We get to choose. How does God get blessings out of our choice? Now, I could go and I could grab my wife and jerk her up. I could. But like she reminded me many years ago, after we've been married 40-some years, and like she reminded me many years ago, I got to sleep sometime. And it's hard to defend yourself when you sleep. But I could jerk her up, and I could shake her, and tell her to love me. I could probably win out over her in a fight. But if I just had her fear me, that's not love. I would never be able to enjoy real love with her, even though I could overcome her. And when I walk in the house, she would not be just drooling with love. She'd be shaking with fear. because she would be wondering what I was going to do if I tried to force her love by fear and force. But if she loved me because of my love for her, then it changes the aspect. God gets glory because what he wants us to do is not just love him because we fear him. We love him because he first loved us. We see his love extended to us through Christ Jesus. When we realize that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, when we look at the love of God and what he's done and what he provided, then what happens is when we love him and we choose to love him, not we are made to love him, not we are so afraid that we're afraid not to love him, but we choose, and our choice is that we choose to love him. He gets glory, and when we're in heaven, we will be the glory of grace that he's extended to sinners, and because of choices that we made. But not everybody's going to make the choice to accept Christ. Not everybody's going to make the choice to love God because he first loved you. Should they? Yes. Let me show you a couple of scriptures real quickly before I wind this down here in a little bit. Look, if you would, in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Everybody turn there just a moment. John chapter 1. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 1. In the beginning was a what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Elohim, God Elohim. He made all things. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, was not able to comprehend everything and apprehend everything about God. Look, if you would, at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might what? Believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, verse 9 is what I want you to see. That was a true light, which what? Lighteth every man that what? Did you know you can go into most uncivilized places in the world, and something inside those if we want to call them heathen people, makes them have gods? They have gods they worship. Why? Because there is something within every person to make them want to worship God. There is something instilled in us that we have a light, and we have an understanding. Our conscience, by the way, the Bible says that every man is without excuse because God has wrote his laws in their conscience. And so therefore, we are without excuse, but it's something inside of every one of us makes us be drawn toward God at some given time in our life. Now, look on. Turn, if you will, one more place to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God, the word wrath means God stored up anger. Somebody said, well, God's just ignoring everything's going on. No, he's not. His anger is building. The Bible says he is angry with the wicked every day. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest where? Did you get that? Look back. Because that which may be known of God is manifested where? Made known where? In them. For God hath what? showed it unto them. God has showed certain things. Look in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal powerhead and Godhead, or power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Look in verse 21. Because that when they, what? Knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. Now, so when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now turn back, if you would, just a minute more, back in Exodus chapter number 8. Now remember, we was talking about Pharaoh and how that God hardened his heart because Pharaoh said, who is this God? I know him not. And he should have known him. History should have known him, and he should have known, and there was something inside of him made him know. Look in chapter 8 of Exodus real quickly, in verse number 19. As God began to send plagues, notice what he says of what happened in verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is what? The finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was what? Hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now, he was told that by his magicians, we can't perform this. This is a finger of God. And so therefore, what he should have done was humble himself before God, but instead of humbling himself, he hardened himself. Look on over, if you would, in chapter number 9. In chapter number 9, in verse 27. Later on, he began to have a change. But look here, in verse 27, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, saying to them, I have what? Sin this time, the Lord is righteous, and I and my people are what? Well, that sounds good, but the only problem is he done passed up the time. Look, if you would, in chapter 10, in verse number 16. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have what? Sinned against the Lord your God and against you. He said, now therefore, forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. In other words, Pharaoh said, listen, I've changed my mind. Well, he changed his mind, but he hadn't changed his heart. But what happened was, when he had an opportunity to be saved, when he had an opportunity to make choices and obey God, when God's voice and his word came to him and said, this is what God wants you to do, he said, I don't know this God, and I'm not going to listen to him. I don't have to obey him. And he hardened his heart. It wasn't God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was the choices that Pharaoh made. But when he made those choices, then God rejected him because of that. And some people said, well, God's not fair to this group and that group over there. But let me say this. From Adam, everybody came, and everybody should have known God from Adam. Then, of course, we came down to the flood. Noah and his three sons and their wives all went into the ark. When they came out and they replenished the whole earth, every one of them knew who God was. Every person in every corner and crack of the world came from Noah and should have known who God was. But somewhere, some of their parents and generations had made decisions to ignore and forget who God really was. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to close. This had come 400 years after Joseph died. And now the people had gotten away from God and started serving other gods. We find another 400 years in the Bible, and that was from Malachi to Matthew. It's called the 400 years of silence. And you know what? During that 400 years, people got away from God. And they began to show apostasy. And they began to reject God. And that's when John the Baptist come on the scene and Jesus come on the scene. And yet they hadn't been spoken to for 400 years. Now let me say something else. From the printing of King James Bible in 1611, we have been given the Word of God, the English-speaking people. We've been able to take the Word of God, and we've been able not only to read it ourselves and form this great nation from it, but we've been able to take the Word of God and preach it throughout all the world. 92% of the missionaries that sent out into the world comes from this continent or this nation right here. 90-some percent of all the money given into missions comes from this nation right here. My point is this. It's been about 400 years since God gave us his word, translation of his word. In this country, we're seeing apostasy everywhere. It's not that people should not know God, but they're like Pharaoh. They are ignorantly, willingly hardening their heart to the things of God. Now listen to me. I'm going to close right here, but I want you to get this. You're a fool if you think that you're going to live your life wicked as you want to live, and at the last minute you're going to call out to God and he's going to come to your rescue. Pharaoh is burning in hell right now because he rejected when the time was there. That's why the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, harden not your heart." And what he wants you to do is he wants you to open it up. Let him come in. You have choices. Those choices have been given to you. Those choices are things that God gives each of you. And when you reject God, you never know whether you'll ever get another opportunity or not. But God has lightened you to let you know that there's a need for God in your life. And the Bible tells us, I've quoted this earlier, to whom much is given, much will be required. If you think that Americans are not going to have to pay a hefty price if they die and go to hell, you don't understand Scripture, because we have been given the privileges that not many nations upon the face of the earth have ever known. So my question is this. Have you ever made a choice for the Lord? Has God spoke to your heart and invited you to come? You feel the drawing of the Holy Spirit to step out and believe and trust in him? Your choice. Only you can make it. Nobody makes it for you. But God is glorified when you make that choice, because you do it willingly of your own free will. And therefore, he blesses you by saving your soul. This morning, would you come if you're not saved? If you feel his spirit calling you? And if you're here, you go throughout this week, stop and thank God for the blessings of being and living and enjoying such a tremendous country as God's blessed us with. Amen. Let's not forget the God of our salvation and the rock upon who this nation was built. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. God is dealing with your heart about your salvation. You need to come. What a sad thing that we've gotten this nation where we've forgotten all about God. Generations upon generations, thousands upon thousands this morning. Did not darken the church door this morning. Not only did not darken this morning, but some has never even been to church. Yet live in a nation where there's a church on every corner. Some has never opened the Word of God and began to read it for themselves, even though there's a Bible everywhere available. And there's, I mean, if you need a Bible, you let me know and you'll have one before you leave here. It's that plenteous here in this nation. My friend, no excuse. It's by your choice, not by God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Would you come? Time when it man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Would you come as we sing, brother?